You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. As you no doubt have been hearing, a federal appeals court overturned the corruption conviction of Sheldon Silver this morning. The former New York State Assembly Speaker was facing prison on charges of money laundering, fraud, and extortion. But today, the appeals court found that while there was sufficient evidence to convict, the judge's instructions to the jury were flawed. Here now to help us understand the significance of the ruling is Daniel Richman, professor of law at Columbia Law School. Hello, professor.
Hi, good to be with you.
All right, how much of a surprise is this?
I can't say it's exactly a surprise. The law very much changed courtesy of the Supreme Court between the time that the district court in this case instructed the jury and the time that the Court of Appeals reviewed the conviction. And that change really required the Court of Appeals to consider not just whether an error had occurred in the instructions. It was more about what the consequences of that error would be and whether it required overturning the conviction.
And I guess the law we're talking about that the Supreme Court passed on, or the change, is about the definition of official acts, right? And I guess that goes very specifically to the Sheldon Silver case.
Yes, it does. We're actually dealing with two statutory schemes. One is an extortion charge. The other is the so-called honest services mail fraud. And they both sound complicated, but in fact, both have been reduced in corruption cases to a simple issue of whether a official has done something in exchange for money or something of value, whether there has been a quid pro quo, as is often said. And that was settled, and this case was tried on the basis of that being the case. The complexity comes from what exactly an official has to do in exchange for the money. What is the quo? Is it enough for him to have a meeting, or must there be something quite official and quite formal? And what the Supreme Court held in the McDonald case is we're looking for something quite formal.
And that case, of course, involved another official, the Virginia, former governor of Virginia, right?
Very much so. And what drove the decision there, at least if you take the Supreme Court at its word, is a concern that sort of the regular day-to-day doings of an active politician would just come too close to violating federal law if we were too loose in our definition of what he had to do in exchange for money. It was almost since everybody does it, it can't be a violation analysis. Since meetings are regularly taken with donors, it certainly shouldn't be enough for that to constitute a federal crime.
Prosecutors are promising a retrial. The former head of that office, Preet Bharara, tweeted this morning that the evidence remains strong. But, Professor, with this new definition from the Supreme Court of official acts, what's the likelihood of prosecutors being able to win a new conviction? Does it affect the weight of the evidence at all?
I think prosecutors, both in this case and in all future corruption cases, are going to have to take pains that they allege and that the jury's instructed that only very specific formalized official acts will be good enough to support a conviction. So long as they take pains to do that and the jury is properly instructed, certainly in this case, and I suspect in a great many others, the government will be able to continue prosecuting the kind of trading of money for official favor that really is at the heart of what these statutes are concerned with.
And how about cases going forward? Prosecutors already complain it's hard to get convictions in public corruption cases. Is this true from your perspective? And is the bar now higher? And what's the remedy going to be in public corruption cases?
I think public corruption cases are hard to prove, both in terms of gathering the evidence and proving knowledge and intent. I don't think that once prosecutors fully internalize the new change in law, that McDonald will prove a massive barrier to them pursuing the kind of cases they've always tried to pursue.
Daniel Richman is a professor at Columbia Law School. Thank you so much for your time, Professor.
My pleasure.